Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network live broadcast at AM 1510. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate showtimes, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, our topic tonight is Medicine Wheel, answering the wake-up call. But first, a few housekeeping details. This show, Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, is also aired on dreamvision7radio.com at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday and Tuesday, as well as on other affiliates. Past shows are downloadable at the Dream Vision 7 archive and on iTunes. I invite you to please like my Facebook page, Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. You can contact me by email. That address is carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. The Dream Vision 7 Network has over 1.2 million listeners in more than 125 countries. We've got lots of great shows with new hosts joining all the time. So I invite you to explore the network and have a listen. Our last show was called Coral Medicine, Feeding Your Needs. Now, the coral card from the Native American Sacred Path card deck talks about and reminds us of the fact that no matter how much we would like to believe otherwise, or it seems like otherwise, we are actually never alone. So that coral medicine card is about nurturing. It's about being nurtured. It's about really feeling the needs that you have, the needs of your body as well as the needs of your spirit, and then figuring out how to provide that nurturing through coral medicine. And one thing that I found really striking from that show and kind of unpacking that topic of feeding your needs was this idea that all nurturing comes from our ability to pay attention. All nurturing comes from our ability to pay attention. Well, pay attention to what? You know, to what our needs actually are, to what our feelings are. Often those are great indicators of what the underlying need is or the thing that needs to be addressed. And, you know, our own needs and feelings as well as the needs and feelings of others. So you can check that show out in the archives. But tonight our topic is Medicine Wheel, answering the wake-up call. I thought I would review first what actually is a medicine wheel, and before we get into sort of the metaphysical and metaphorical aspect of this of the topic. So a medicine wheel is a Native American symbol. I'm sure you've seen one. It looks like a circle that's divided into four equal parts, and each part usually has its own color. The one that I study has a red section, a black section, a yellow section, a white section. And what that medicine wheel represents is the wheel of life. It's sometimes called the sacred hoop, and it really refers to the universe, all that everything is encompassed within that circle. It also is meant to represent the self. Each color in that medicine wheel, each piece of the pie, represents a different aspect of you, an aspect, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Now, in the Native American Sacred Path card deck, the Medicine Wheel card is a card about change. It refers to the end of a period of stagnation. It indicates finding new direction, being in a new cycle, being in new movement. And it really gives us the opportunity to recognize that nothing ever stays the same. You know, there's a good side and a bad side to that, right? That certainty of uncertainty principle. So when we think about a medicine wheel, I mean, one of the teachings that comes up a lot when I'm working with my students and clients is about standing in the center of the medicine wheel. And we do that so that no matter what is happening around us, we can respond from a place of peace and strength. And that's actually part of my intro to the radio show. And it's really central to the show's message that, you know, we look at how we can stand in the center of our lives so that, you know, the things that happen, and they, you know, they will happen, both, you know, good and bad, or, you know, challenging and not as challenging, so that when those things occur, we can respond rather than react. So, you know, things that we need to be asking ourselves on a regular basis: am I standing in the center? Am I feeling like I am in a place of peace? Do I feel strong right now? Do I feel balanced, right? And thinking about that concept of balance is not as, you know, the scales, you know, the sides of the scale are sort of equally balanced. I mean, that's one common way to think about balance. But more, you know, when you're standing on one leg and you have to keep readjusting so that you can maintain your equilibrium. It's that kind of balance that we're talking about here. Really, that ability to adjust. Okay, so that's the idea of the medicine wheel, the concept of the self standing in the center. So what does your medicine wheel look like if you were to think about it? You know, is it even a circle at this point? Or is it, you know, some other shape? Does it have a weird bulge somewhere? Are the pieces, the four pieces of the circle pie, evenly portioned out? Or do you have like a skinny red section for maybe your spiritual life, but your yellow section, which in the tradition I study represents the intellect, that above the neck, being in the mind all the time, you know, has that section kind of taken over your circle? So things for you to consider and contemplate. So what are some reasons that maybe we're not standing in the center? Well, often it's because we're unhappy, right? Why are we unhappy? We're overworked. This is me teaching what I most need to learn here. We're overcommitted, overextended. Maybe we're doing things that don't add up to living our own life. Maybe we're living a life that other people sort of have planned out for us, or other people think we should be living. It's not the life we thought we'd be living or the life that we dream of. You know, so we need, and maybe we get a wake-up call at some point. We get a diagnosis, or a relationship ends, and maybe we saw it coming, or maybe we didn't. We lose a job, or we leave a job. We lose our home. Things change unexpectedly, right? The certainty of uncertainty. I actually had a literal wake-up call back in 2002 that I'll share with you. I was engaged at the time, and I woke up one morning, and it was a seemingly random event, and I, you know, was lying in bed in those wake-up moments that we have, and I just had this thought: I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be engaged. I don't want to move forward with this trajectory here. And there wasn't anything particularly wrong with the relationship, but it just didn't feel particularly right either. I think we made better friends than partners who were headed for marriage, and so I answered the call that day, and we ended the relationship and sort of uncoupled ourselves, is that a term that's going around nowadays. So, you know, questions that I wanted to put forward tonight in the show that I really feel like we need to be asking ourselves and re-asking ourselves, it's definitely a process. You know, are you torn between what you think you should do and what you actually wish to do? Second question, are you feeling like you can't be the truest expression of your most authentic self? Do you even know what that looks like? Question 3, do you do things that don't align with your intuition Question 4. In general, do you feel stuck or frustrated with the way your life is? I know I have been and sometimes still am in this space. I spiral in and out of feeling like I can answer yes to these questions. Yes, I feel stuck, or yes, I'm not, you know, feeling like my most authentic self. So let's take a deeper dive into these questions. You know, that first one about being torn between what you think you should do and what you actually wish to do. Well, you know, I have so many friends and clients and myself even. You know, we think, well, you know, with our job, I have to pay the bills, I have too much debt, or I love the flexibility. You know, what if the next job is worse? It's, you know, it's bad everywhere. And we don't make a change. Or, you know, we're torn as it relates to our family obligations or obligations with friends or in our personal relationship, feeling like, you know, we should be doing something. You know, we should be spending Mother's Day in a certain way, but we really want to spend it in this way instead, but we get pulled to the shoulds. Really interesting tonight, there's a man named Edwin Powell Hubble, who I certainly have heard of but didn't know much about his life, but I wanted to talk about him tonight. He was the man who discovered the cosmos. He was an American astronomer. He died in 1953, and the Hubble telescope was named after him. He is quoted as saying, "I knew that even if I were second or third rate, it was astronomy that mattered." So here was a guy who was so passionate about astronomy that he didn't wait to be perfect to take the leap. And he was also a man, as the website that I Googled him on said, who eventually broke the promise made to his father and followed the path dictated by his passion. Now, there's a lot to the story of, you know, how long it took him to get there, but I thought, God, that's a fitting example here for what we're talking about. Stephen Hawking, who was a famous British astrophysicist, he wrote that book, A Brief History of Time. He mentions Hubble in that book, and he said that Hubble's discovery that the universe is expanding, that was the discovery, the universe is not static, it's expanding, was one of the great intellectual revolutions of the 20th century. So a guy that, you know, thought he might be second or third rate at astronomy ended up discovering what was one of the great intellectual revolutions of last century. He even had an effect on Einstein's work, where Einstein went back and corrected some of his equations based on this discovery that the universe was not static. Einstein called it the greatest blunder of his life. So, I mean, look at this. This guy, Edwin, bless you, Edwin, you answered the wake-up call, and this was after he spent time as a teacher and coach and did, you know, well there, was very popular. He had a stint in the military. He trained and became a lawyer. He was the son of an insurance salesman in the Midwest. So when all was said and done, he decided, even if I'm second or third rate, it's astronomy that mattered. He didn't wait to be perfect, and it's never too late. And that, to me, is such a fitting example for this idea of answering the wake-up call within ourselves. So that related to that first question I posed. Now, that second question about living an authentic life and what stands in the way, I have an example here, too, to share with you, and this one is closer to home. A friend of mine, who I've known for, I don't know, almost 10 years, told me yesterday that she is giving up her wildly successful healing practice to retire with her husband and son to another state, a state where, yes, it's warmer and cheaper to live, so that they can be a family, so she can focus on being a mom, so that they can, you know, have the life that they want to have. They're answering the call. I mean, she's barely 40. I don't think her husband is much older than she is. And I will tell you right now that I am in awe of her. And I think, gosh, who knows what will unfold for her because she's done this. She's taking this step. And who knows what it means for the planet that she's doing this. I mean, we didn't know with, you know, Edwin Hubble who I just talked about, that that's what he was going to discover. Who knows what she's going to discover now that she answered the wake-up call to live her authentic life. You know, that third question about intuition and going against it. I read this morning when I was going through my Facebook feed, a friend of mine was writing, posted that she, you know, a while back had rented her home for the summer. She didn't know why, but she got, you know, a major intuitive hit that she needed to do that. She didn't know where she would live, but the intuition was that strong, and she's really made a commitment to her life that when she gets these intuitive hits, she's going to follow them and really trust. Well, as it turns out, her father is failing, and he lives in another state, and so she'll be spending the summer with him. Her home will be rented, and, you know, her bills will get paid, and she followed her intuition. I mean, that's amazing to me. You know, personal example, it's about, you know, Dear Mr. Hubble again. You know, I'm prepping for the show tonight, and, you know, if you've listened to other shows, I've explained that I use, you know, my pendulum. You know, I call in spirit, I use my pendulum, get into a sacred space to prep the show. So the pendulum and I identified a book of quotations. It's one I rarely look at or use, very old, as, you know, something that I needed to reference for the show. So I said, okay, you know, I found the quote I was being asked to use. In the book, it was a quote about mercy. It was in this old English, and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm like, all right, let's trust it. So I Googled the guy who wrote the quote. I said, well, maybe I'll find out more about why I'm supposed to reference him. And his name was Edwin Hubble Chapin, except I typed in Edwin Hubble, the wrong name, and the info about Hubble, the telescope guy, and how his answering the call led to one of the most powerful discoveries about the universe in the 20th century came to light for me to use tonight in the show. So do you see what I mean? That, like, when you do get into that space of allowing yourself to be led by your intuition and aligning yourself with that, you know, what can just seem to unfold effortlessly, it's pretty powerful. Okay, and so that fourth question, do you feel stuck or frustrated with the way life is? This is such a big one for so many of us. You know, we're too busy. We're not busy enough. You know, I want a new job, but I'm afraid to put up a profile on LinkedIn. I'm afraid to ask for a raise, even though I haven't had one in 5 years. I mean, all those kinds of things. I don't like the way my relationship with my sister is going, but I don't want to talk to her because she might get mad at me. Things like that. It's such a big one. You know, we are stuck. We know we're stuck, and we don't do a darn thing about it. Anyone relate to that? That is me as I look back over my life more times than I care to admit, and probably more times than not. I have been in some space of feeling stuck or frustrated or knowing in my head, like I can work it all out in my head, and yet I can't take action. I mean, I can't even, I right now, this is so embarrassing, but I'm going to share it, belong to two gyms. I don't go to either one of them on a regular basis. One I never go to. And you think I could cancel one of them? I should really cancel both of them, and I can't seem to do that. So, I mean, I'm right there with you if you're feeling stuck too. These things, I mean, I'm half laughing, but it is pretty sad in some ways. And, you know, sometimes with these things, you know, especially like in a job circumstance, you know, the pressure builds and we get into this state where, like, we just cannot stand it. And so we vent about it. And in that process of venting, it relieves just enough pressure that, you know, we can tolerate it. We can go back. And I don't know that that's actually helpful. Sometimes I think maybe we shouldn't vent. We should let it kind of stew and churn, and so that it drives us to make a change rather than, you know, we let off a little steam and it makes us, you know, able to tolerate it again until the next time. I mean, I was in a job for 10 years that I probably should have left after 2 or 3. I thought I would move back to New York, and maybe I should have moved back to New York after law school. And here I am in Massachusetts 20-some-odd years later. Much of that time by default rather than actual decision. And I don't know how I feel about that. I'm happy to be here, you know, now and have, you know, probably the last 5-10 years, I think I'm happy with my life. But prior to that, it really was, you know, living by default rather than decision. So, you know, why does this happen to us? There's lots of reasons. I'll list out some of them as I start to butt up against our first break. These can be kind of really boiled down to this thing called tribal belief, whether it's belief from, you know, our family structure, our friends, maybe karmically, things that, you know, we're remembering from past lives. These beliefs we have about work, about marriage, about health, about success, about happiness, about healing, that prevent us from doing what we need to do, from, you know, standing in the center, from recognizing what our authentic life is and being able to take the right steps towards living that life. So we'll look at more of that after the break. I thank you for joining us, and I will let Peter take us to break. I'll talk to you in a few.
In 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
J.T. Lewis is the big brother of Jesse Lewis, who died in Sandy Hook Elementary on December 14, 2012, while saving the lives of 9 of his classmates. J.T. found comfort after Rwandan orphan genocide survivors reached out to him from their country to express their condolences and share their personal stories of tragedy and healing. Inspired by the love that was shown to him, J.T. started Newtown Helps Africa, a nonprofit organization that helps young people in Africa and beyond who've suffered personal tragedy and have shown resilience. He successfully sent one young Rwandan woman to college for 4 years and plans to do much more, all the while inspiring many young people around the world to turn hardship into an opportunity to make the world a better place. Link on to NewtownHelpsRwanda.org.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Living your values? Looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson-Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's gnomestedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love.
By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
Involved in a divorce or custody dispute? Time to finally get your will and health care proxy in place. Need help getting special education services for your child with a disability? For these and other legal issues, the attorneys at Levine Pirro Law can help. We provide all our Massachusetts clients with compassionate, affordable, quality legal representation. Contact us for a free consultation at 978-637-2048. That's 978-637-2048. Or visit Levine Pirro Law.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is Medicine Wheel, Answering the Wake-Up Call. In our first segment tonight, I posed four questions that we need to ask ourselves to see if we might be in need of a wake-up call. And those questions were, are you torn between what you think you should do and what you actually wish to do? Number two, are you feeling like you can't be the truest expression of your most authentic self? Do you even know what that looks like? Number three, do you do things that don't align with your intuition and your gut feeling? And number four, in general, do you feel stuck or frustrated with the way your life is? So right before the break, we were starting to explore some of the reasons why when we're stuck or otherwise not living the life we wish to and, you know, desiring to answer that wake-up call, you know, we don't. And some of it comes down to what I was calling tribal beliefs. And so these are beliefs we have because of family structure, you know, friends that we've grown up with. It could be sort of soul beliefs that we have based on things that have happened in past lives, etc. So they're beliefs about work, about marriage and relationship, about health and healing, about success, about failure, and about happiness. And, you know, we might have a belief, for instance, about one of those things, about, you know, I can't be too successful in, you know, my weight loss efforts, or I can't impact my own health, so, you know, I'm not going to try to do anything to heal, things like that. Oh, you know, I can't leave my marriage because of, you know, X, Y, Z. Can't leave my job. We talked about that in the first segment because, you know, it's bad everywhere, so, you know, why bother? Things like that. And so, you know, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. And then, you know, add on top of that, when we try to kind of buck those beliefs, especially when we're still really connected with our tribe, we can feel, you know, burdened by it. We can feel guilty. We can feel the weight of obligation. And even beyond that, we often can just be afraid. You know, fear can be really at the base or behind a lot of this sort of inaction, you know, that inertia. You know, that's another thing to look at. You know, are we feeling powerless? Do we really align ourselves with sort of that victim energy and that you know, things are being done to us all the time and we don't really have any say. You know, have we stopped believing in ourselves and our ability to affect change? You know, I am sometimes guilty of this, and I've seen it happen where, you know that moment where you're yelling at the TV because of some news story you're hearing and how horrific it is, and you say either, you know, to yourself or to whoever's with you, the dog, the cat, you know, somebody really should do something about that. And it doesn't even occur to you that that somebody should be you, that, you know, you need to somehow be active, somehow, you know, write a letter, make a phone call, volunteer for a cause, send money, you know, do something to effect change, to sort of impact. You know, we get into this either apathy or this powerlessness that just does not serve the world, and it does not serve the self either. You know, sometimes that wake-up call can be like this feeling of urgency that you have within you, this like this hum almost, like this idling that you feel like you need to kind of get into gear, and you can't figure out what you're supposed to be doing with that energy, how you're supposed to be directing it. You might know what I'm talking about. There's this wonderful poem by Araya Mountain Dreamer, and it's called, ironically, The Call. And in this poem, she has a book of the same name, and you can go to her website, ArayaMountainDreamer.com, and find the poem. And in a moving and beautiful way, she refers to this idea of sort of going about day-to-day life, moving about the world as if you're sleepwalking. And, you know, she's admonished, well, I would say, you know, the way I interpret it anyway, by her guides in the poem, you know, to stop moving in such an unconscious way, and that, you know, that there's no safety in that, something of that nature. Even though sometimes we really think there is safety in it, right? We're going to keep the status quo, okay? At least I'm paying my rent, or, you know, could be worse, so I'm not, you know, it's not horrendous what my life is like. Maybe I'm unhappy, but, you know, other people have it worse. You know, we get into all that sort of unconsciousness, sort of, where we're not trying to shift into a place that's more aligned with our soul's calling. I know I've done it. And lately what I've been trying to do, because I'm not out of the woods here in my own life, is, you know, follow some advice that I saw in and heard about, read about from Samantha Bennett. I talked about it, I think, my last show in a book called Get It Done. This is my my helpful tip for the night. From Procrastination to Creative Genius in 15 Minutes a Day. That's the subtitle of the book. And really that says it all. That's the advice, but she gives all sorts of helpful hints in the book, and so I follow it. I take 15 minutes, usually in the morning, and sometimes I'll continue, if I have more time, to follow a creative thread, to do some writing, to pull together something for my practice, to go back and look at some, you know, source material that I'm using for a future radio show or something that I'm writing about. And, you know, sometimes that's all the time I have, and I wish I had more, but it satisfies somehow. You know, I think a lot of times we think, well, I don't have time to make changes. I'm too busy. I'm raising, you know, my kids, and I'm working, and I'm this and I'm that. Yet, you know, there are ways. We can find 15 minutes, right? Okay, my next thought for you guys that I want to kind of unpack around this idea of answering the wake-up call. And it has to do with, and I hope we have enough time to get through it all, that idea of, okay, just go ahead, answer it. Answer the call. Do something. Go ahead. What are you waiting for? Do something. And really, you know, let's talk about that for a moment. That's that masculine principle, right, of driving, pushing, doing. Got to get out in front of it, got to control it, got to make it happen, right? And that's what we want to be doing if we're coming from a balanced place, right? But what happens much of the time, especially in our culture, is that, you know, we're doing and doing and doing, and that's the standard by which we are measured, right? And it is often to the exclusion of that feminine principle of receptivity, of openness, of allowing, right, that beingness. And that's, you know, pushed aside, or it's underdeveloped at best. And so, you know, that large imbalance, right, that's not being in the center of your medicine wheel. And so if you're doing from a place of imbalance, it's highly likely that you aren't doing the right things in the right ways at the right time, right? And so this is big stuff to really pay attention to, that I'm really trying to pay attention to. It's important stuff. Now, there's this great book about disordered eating. It's called Eating in the Light of the Moon. So here's just an example that makes this issue about imbalance between the masculine and feminine absolutely central to the key to healing eating disorders. When have you read about that in a book in that way, for how to kind of look at the reasons why we have the relationships with food that we have, and, you know, how do we look at sort of the feminine and the masculine in our lives so that we can strike a balance that allows us to heal that. Okay, this is big stuff. All right, so if you're committed to answering the wake-up call, to standing in the center of your medicine wheel, then a great place to start is by examining those the masculine and feminine sides in you, deciding what work needs to be done to reclaim the wisdom of the feminine, if that's the issue. And more often than not, it is the issue, especially for women, ironically. So one way to do that, of course, I mention this in many shows as we bump up against the break, is to sit and reflect. Be in a space of openness, right? To see what shows up as you contemplate your willingness to shift and center yourself in the middle of your own medicine wheel. Let's contemplate that as we go to break. We will wrap up with some information about the shamanic learning and practice days that we had last month, and then it'll be a wrap. So, Peter, I'll let you take us to break. I'll talk to you all in a few.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
If you're feeling the effects of chronic stress, chronic fatigue, or chronic illness in your life, it may be time to learn more about the key role that mind-body medicine can play in restoring and maintaining your health. Through individual or group sessions with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts, you can experience energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and self-care planning designed to enhance health and wellness. Mind-body medicine includes techniques such as Reiki, meditation, breathing practices, guided imagery, and mindfulness, which research increasingly shows support the body's natural ability to heal itself and restore balance. To get started, call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Harvard holistic psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Judy Tsafrir offers empowering astrology and tarot readings that provide insight and guidance regarding love, work, and higher purpose. For more information, call 617-965-3020 or visit bostonastrologer.com or bostontarot.com. Readings are available via phone, Skype, and in person in Newton Center, Massachusetts.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal: to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight has been Medicine Wheel, answering the wake-up call. We spent a good part of the hour talking about the medicine wheel itself as a representation of the universe, as well as the self and the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical aspects of ourselves. We also spent some time diving more deeply into this idea of answering the wake-up call. How do we do that? What prevents us from doing it? Do we need to do it? You know, how do we kind of wake up to our authentic lives? You know, I heard Cheryl Richardson, who's an author and teacher with Hay House now. She has a radio show called Coach on Call, which I listen to now and again. I heard her mention another great way to begin answering the wake-up call, you know, especially when you have no idea what you are being called to actually do. She said the best thing you can do is to stop doing all the things you don't want to do. How's that for good advice? So that it creates space for the things you do want to do to show up. I love that idea because it's sort of like a doing in the not doing that is allowing, right? And so it's balancing that masculine and feminine in the very act of releasing and stopping to do the things you really that really don't make your heart sing. The final thing I wanted to talk about comes out of the shamanic learning and practice days that I held in April. They were very well attended and well received, I think. So thank you to those who came and participated. And one of the things that we spent a good deal of time on was this concept and healing practice called soul retrieval. And this is the concept where when you have a bad thing happen to you, a traumatic event, an accident, a loss, something of that nature, your soul shatters as a way to cope with the loss or the trauma or that bad thing. So you lose some pieces of your soul, some soul parts, they're referred to. And so one of the things that we learned in the practice day was how to actually do a soul retrieval, how to journey for lost soul parts, how to coax them to come back, how to bring them back, how to put them back into the person that you're working on, how to talk to them about it, how to integrate, all of those things. And what often happens is that childhood pieces, childhood soul parts come back. These are pieces that need to be mothered. And I thought it would be very appropriate on this Mother's Day in 2015 to talk a little bit about mothering those little soul parts that might be crying. And so if you're a mom to this soul part that's returned, which you are, you have to figure out why your soul part is crying and respond in some way. So in the larger context of the show and answering the wake-up call, many times you're missing some soul parts that are preventing you from understanding what your authentic life is, that prevents you from being able to move forward, from really breaking through the barriers that keep you from answering the call. And so, you know, you go through some healing processes like a soul retrieval. You get these soul pieces back, you know, they're back and you're like, okay, good. Well, yes, good. But you also have to really think about integrating that part so that it wants to stick around. And so if it is a child part, then really, you know, mothering that part, taking care of that part is so important. Really supporting yourself in that inner child, and some of this is applicable if you're doing inner child work at all, or you're just familiar with that idea of sort of nurturing the inner child so that you can move forward in your adult life. You know, figuring out what's wrong. What, you know, is the soul part hungry? Is your inner child hungry? Is it angry? Is it in pain? Is it sad? Is it feeling uncomfortable? You know, or is it just trying to burn off some excess energy to return to a more contented state? And that little tidbit comes, I did not know this, but babies sometimes cry just to burn off some excess energy. So if you're trying to integrate a soul part, if you have a seemingly upset inner child, is it just something that kind of needs to vibrationally get worked out in the moment? So that's another option. So really paying attention to that, right? It makes me think about the last show around choral medicine and nurturing your needs. But, you know, key to that nurturing being successful is our ability to pay attention. And so we really need to be paying attention to what's going on for ourselves so that we can identify what our call is, identify what's getting in the way, mother the parts of ourselves that need to be mothered, so that we can answer that call. And so that was something we really did spend a lot of time on in those practice days. We also looked at extraction healings. A lot of times if you're missing soul parts, you've got some sort of spaces in your energy field that are available for what is called misplaced energy to kind of hang out. So how can you remove those pieces that could also be affecting, you know, your worldview or your energy level, your ability to affect change? We spent a lot of time on the medicine wheel too, and, you know, standing in the center of it, like we've talked about here tonight, about sacred space, how to create sacred space for yourself, whether it's in your home or working with clients, you know, why ceremony and ritual is so important and how to really, you know, honor that and take it seriously and bring your best forward when you're participating. We talked about the importance of finding and making your own tools if you're going to be doing healing work. And then also about communication doorways. I wanted to spend a moment here too because I think that that can be an important resource for people when they're trying to answer the call to live an authentic life. You know, for me, I use, you know, sacred path cards, I use pendulum, I use sort of my communication with nature, the silence of meditation, writing. Sometimes people use music, their time in the shower, as their ways for information to come to and through. And, you know, I have my way of doing it, which I've shared. I have my way of seeing. I have my way of being in co-creative partnership with Spirit. Happy to share all of the things that I have done and tried as a model, but really just one example, not as you need to go do this too. So what I really want to emphasize is that in any of this work, you have your way. You know, you have what you're called to do. You have your unique way of answering that call. And, you know, maybe you know what that is, you know, what your call is or what you need to do to answer it. Maybe you once knew it, but, you know, you've forgotten or it needs to get dusted off. Or maybe you still need to discover it. That's true for a lot of us as well. Maybe you had it and now, you know, it doesn't serve you anymore and there's a new way that is calling you. But the thing to remember here is that it's your way. It's your path. I think it was Joseph Campbell who said, you know, if the path is already there, it's somebody else's path. You know, you need to kind of take those steps to kind of craft your own way and walk your own path. So I offer that for your consideration tonight, to figure out, you know, what are your communication doorways? What are your answers to those four questions that I posed at the beginning of the show about, you know, how to recognize whether you need to answer a wake-up call? You know, what does it look like for you to live your authentic life? So, moving on, I just want to mention a little bit more about Mother's Day here. I really love that my show falls on Mother's Day every year. So I send happy Mother's Day wishes to my mom and my aunt and my sisters who are all moms, to moms everywhere, actually, the two-legged and the four-legged, the eight-legged, the winged ones, the moms that slither, the moms that swim, and, of course, to the great mother, Inamaka, Mother Earth, for giving birth to us all. May we all find a way to honor you today and every day. May you forgive us for the ways we have taken you for granted, dear Mother Earth, the ways we've taken advantage of you. May we figure out how to restore you. I want to let you know that our next show is on June 14th, where our topic is Shawl Medicine, Finding Happiness. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. You can also call me at 508-481-2547. Remember, tonight's show will air Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. at dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you so much for being a part of this show. I am truly grateful. Until next time, I wish you moments of grace descending. Take good care.
For tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Please join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow, while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living, and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time, get your bliss on. For more info, visit blisshealingarts.com.